Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Peterson backing up from his claims. He said, according to Jane Slater on the conference call with Dallas Media, can I just clear something up real quick? I never used the term or word guarantee. We thought he kind of guaranteed victory against the Cowboys. He said, all I was doing was showing confidence in my football team because there comes a point, especially here in Philly, where you lose a game or two and everybody feels like everything is kind of caving in on the football team. For me, it was about standing up and kind of taking ownership of where we are as a football team. We're 3-3. It hasn't been perfect. Just showing confidence in my guys and kind of instilling that into the players that everything is going to be okay.
So take that, everybody. We've got it under control. I said we will win, but that was not a guarantee. It's just, you know, wow. It's kind of a helping verb, really.
He said, I actually received some text messages from players in support and in favor of what I said, saying, listen, coach, we know we're not perfect and we're going to get this thing right. It's been a very big positive. Okay, it's been a Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We've been talking a lot about officiating in the NFL. And luckily for us, let's not talk about how we became besties with this guy. Let's just talk about, we are besties with the former VP of officiating in the NFL, the great Dean Blandino, who joins us now. Dean, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I like the Darth Vader music. I think it's very apropos.
I could have found worse, but that was all really we could come up with at the moment, right?
I know. But wait, before we get into the officiating, I want to talk about, I don't know if you guys know, one of my hobbies is I keep an archive of all the high school Hall of Fames all over the country.
Oh, is that right?
And I got an alert because I have it set up to get an alert when people are inducted into the high school Hall of Fame. And I got an alert that you guys were inducted into the Berkner High School Hall of Fame with some guy named Everson Walls. I don't know who that is. You guys. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Well, first of all, that's a terrible app that you have that gives you that alert.
I'm trying to sell it. So I don't know. You think I got a chance?
Very limited audience for that thing.
Thank you. Dean. Very kind of you to say, Dean. We really appreciate that, brother. And hey, we want to dive in here. Obviously, to us, it feels like straight chaos going on with NFL officiating. You're the former VP of officiating in the league. What in the hell is going on? Can you make sense of all this?
Well, let me first say that, look, this is not, it's not unprecedented. During my time at the league office, and I was there for over 20 years, there were times when it felt like the roof was caving in and everybody was going crazy about the officiating. So this isn't, I wouldn't say that this is unprecedented. It is very, it does feel like, the last couple of weeks, it seems like that's all people are talking about. And then obviously, Monday night, prime time, people are watching, and you have some controversial calls. And whenever those calls go against, it's felt like one team, and that team loses, then you get that outcry. So I don't think this is unheard of, but I do feel like, you know, it's just been a couple of weeks where, you know, whether it's pass interference review or too many penalties, things like that, where we're talking about officiating, and that's never good for the NFL.
It is never good for the NFL. And, you know, my affinity for the NBA, and I think they've had worse officiating problems than any other league, probably, at least in terms of perception and all that. But do you think the owners and Roger and the folks feel compelled or motivated to quote unquote do something because public confidence is shaken right now?
I do. I think, and the timing, you know, it couldn't have been any worse in terms of having the game Monday night. And now, you know, they're in Florida right now at an owner's meeting. And so you have the commissioner, you have all of ownership there. So it's definitely something that's in the forefront of everyone's minds. And I'm sure they're talking about it. And look, officiating is a difficult environment to work in. It's a hard job, and I think the league has to continue to look at ways how can they make it make it a better environment for the officials, make sure you get the best officials, the best training, the best teaching, the best resources so that you don't have these types of situations where we should be talking about a great game Monday night and a comeback and all that type of stuff, but instead we're talking about the officiating.
Yeah, and I to me, it always blows me away that it's a $15 billion annual industry and you don't have any full-time officials right now. You talk about getting the best referees. The best way to do that is to pay them a lot of money and make it a full-time job. And since they're so incredibly important and you're a $15 billion annual industry, it seems like that wouldn't be too crazy difficult to do. In your opinion, should there be full-time officials? Would that help?
I think anytime you spend more time doing what you do, you're going to get better at it. And so I think the league has to figure out how to make the officials look. Right now, the officials put in a lot of time. And they spend a lot of time during the week looking at film, going through, you know, their previous game, their upcoming game, scouting the two teams. But the reality is a lot of them have other jobs that take away their focus from the NFL. And so if the league can figure out a way, they just did a new collective bargaining agreement with the referees union, and full-time officials are in that agreement, and the league has to figure out a way if it's the 17 head referees that are full-time, because those are the people that are basically, you know, running those crews and they can communicate and hopefully do it consistently. Maybe that's the answer, but I certainly think the league has to figure out a way to get these officials, whether you call them full-time or not, get them more opportunities to get better at their profession and not to have any distractions, you know, outside of that.
So I am curious about that. I hadn't really thought about it. I've heard Ben talk about this a lot. And then recently I was thinking about it. I was like, well, what does a full-time official do in February and March and April and June? I'm sure that's the logic why the NFL doesn't have it. But currently, your crew chief, your cleats and those kinds of guys, how much time a week do they spend during the NFL week on quote-unquote officiating?
Quite a bit. They spend, so as a crew chief, you're probably spending anywhere from 20 to 25 hours during the week. You're breaking down your previous game. You're highlighting plays that you want to cover with the crew. Every crew evaluates their entire game. They'll have a conference call during the week, typically on Tuesday night. They'll go through their game, different things that they want to discuss, different situations. They'll get an evaluation report from the league on Wednesday. They'll go through that evaluation report. Then they'll start looking at their upcoming game. Cowboys, Eagles, let's break down. Okay, what do the Cowboys like to do on offense, defense, special teams? What do the Eagles like to do, different situations, tendencies? All of that, they're doing that every week. But what you said earlier was important. You know, what are they doing in March and April? Because, look, NBA referees are full-time. Baseball umpires, hockey referees are full-time. But when they're not officiating games, you know, what are they doing? You know, they're not at the Mavs facility working practice. And that's because football is a once-a-week sport. That's why it has evolved with officials, you know, having other jobs. I think we just got to figure out a way. You know, there's things they can do during the off-season to get better, whether that's physical fitness, training, those types of things. But they do spend a ton of time during the week on football, and it definitely takes away from the other things that they do.
Let's talk about the final play in the Cowboys game where they against the Jets, and they go for the 2-point conversion, and Jason Witten is assaulted in the end zone, and there's no flag. What were your thoughts on that play?
Well, I think what we've seen with this rule, you know, I thought there was definitely. And Jason is a veteran player, obviously, and he initiates as much contact as he, you know, as he gets. But, you know, there was definitely contact, definitely some who did what to who. It's close. You know, if a flag is thrown there, you could probably support pass interference. But I think what we're doing now with this rule, especially from a replay perspective, is it's going to be, like you said, it's going to have to be a complete and total mugging for replay to get involved. And even when the call in the field is not made and there is a challenge, the bar is very high in terms of creating that foul and replay. So I think at this point, the way they're administering this rule is no harm, no foul, and we're gonna stay with the call in the field unless it's something you know, egregious.
Let me ask you this. The old idea that a ball is quote-unquote catchable, did he throw a catchable ball there in the first place?
Well, that's the other thing you have to factor in. You know, is that a catchable pass? And that's part of it. It's all judgment. And that's why when you start talking about making these types of plays reviewable when it's so subjective, then it becomes a debate. Like the three of us could look at, we wouldn't look at Cowboys games because you guys might look at it a certain way, but let's pick two teams outside the division and we can look at a bunch of plays and not agree on any one of them, whether it's pass interference or not, because it is so subjective. And that's why I think that's what we're seeing with this rule right now.
But I don't know, besides illegal motion or lining up in the neutral zone, what isn't subjective and judgmental. But that's a whole other discussion. I want to interject this here because a buddy of mine that works for the Mavs mentioned this, and I thought it was right on. Why, if a play is reviewable, is it incumbent upon the officials looking at the play to have conclusive evidence to quote-unquote overturn it? If you are challenging it, the very nature is that we don't know what happened here. This isn't fair. So shouldn't they go into it completely blank and make a determination based on what they see as opposed to can we overturn a call?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. It's something that the competition committee and that we've discussed at length. The original, when replay was put in, it was to fix the obvious error in a critical situation. And it has evolved so far beyond that today, but that was the initial thought. And so you said, okay, it has to be clear cut that the call in the field is incorrect in order to overturn it. But what we're seeing today is we're no longer just looking at obvious errors. We're looking at these 50-50 plays. And I think what we're going to see is that type of concept start to creep in where you're no longer just saying the ruling on the field is correct. Now you're going to re-officiate the play in replay. And I think that's where we're headed. I think, targeting in the college game, that's what they're doing. They're re-officiating the play. I think if you start adding these subjective calls, I think the only way to do it is to say blank slate. Let's look at it. It either is or it isn't, and we move on. And I think that's where we're going to head pretty soon.
Okay, so with regard to these calls, you could make a holding call on every play in the NFL, right? I feel like the perfect medium, and tell me if I'm crazy, is this. You don't want to have too many calls, obviously, because it ruins a game, turns it into a ref show. But so I think you should only, if I'm a referee at a game, I would only want to throw my flag for holding if it impacted the play. Like, okay, this guy would have had a sack if he wasn't held. This guy would have had the tackle on the play if he wasn't held. If it's on the whole other side of the play and it was real small and it really didn't impact things, if you're my boss, shouldn't I hold my flag on that so I don't ruin the league?
Yeah, and that is the way officials do look at holding. You know, and for many years it was, look, point of attack, if the hold really has an impact on the outcome of the play, And then anything else, you're not going to throw the flag. I think what's happened with holding is because of the way blocking is today, and there's so much outside the frame, and there's so much use with the hand, is that offensive linemen were getting away with technique on the backside that was, because you have the cutback and you have different blocking schemes today, it was impacting the play, even though it was technically on the backside at the start of the play. So the league wanted to clean that up. But I think, you know, that concept is not, you know, something that they don't do. You know, they don't want to, if the receiver on the right side of the formation holds and it's a sweep to the left, they don't want to call that. They don't, because that really has no impact. So that concept is still in play right now. But what I think they try to do this year is they really try to clean up some of the technique that offensive linemen were using. And I think that's why we saw such an uptick in holding calls the first couple of weeks.
Dean Blandino, former VP of officiating in the NFL. We hated you at first. We've loved you ever since. And we're kind of enjoying the fact that the league's, you know, officiating has gone to crap without you. I think they need to bring you back. Hey, thanks so much for the time, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he goes, the great Dean Blandino.
God, I hate that guy.
I hear you. I hear you on that.
It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. What exactly is the secret menu at McDonald's? And what does Zeke want off of it? We'll try to unravel the mystery of the McGangbang coming up here in 20 minutes. But joining us now from the Star, courtesy of our friends over at
Ford.
Ford is the best in Texas.
Thank you, Shippy. It's our buddy, Mickey Spagnola. Hello, Mickey. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing pretty damn good until I looked down and saw that half the team missed practice. And the one we didn't know about that totally blew our minds, what's going on with Travis?
Sound like it was a personal issue, so no injury. So that's a good thing because, yeah, with all the other injuries they have on the offensive line, that's the last thing they need. So no injury there, personal reasons. So I would imagine he's back in a day or two, so we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, you certainly didn't want to hear that with Tyron and Lael Collins still not practicing, both working on the cords, by the way, so the resistance cords. So that's a good sign. But, yeah, you certainly wouldn't want all three of them not to be able to play on Sunday.
So are you expecting the Cowboys to be without both starting offensive tackles once again?
I would think for sure Lael Collins, and then we'll see with Tyron. I mean, he was kind of a let's see what happens on Sunday last week. So I would imagine he's kind of in the same boat for this week. But, yeah, I think there's a possibility that both of them are not in there and they have to go with Brandon Knight along with Cam Fleming.
So what are you bracing for with Amari Cooper?
Gosh, I hate to say day-to-day, right? That sounds boring.
Boring!
But, yeah, when the quad was so bad that he couldn't even try to get back, I don't know that, you know, 5 days later you're ready to go. So I would imagine you're going to see a little more of Devin Smith this week. He was inactive because they wanted Cedric Wilson up last week because he could help in the slot a little bit more and kind of be a backup on returns with Randall Cobb out also. So if both of those guys are out, I think you'll see a lot of Devin Smith and they, you know, Tavon Austin. Gallup's got to play like a number one receiver. And I would imagine if they're going to continue to use Ventel Bryan as a gunner on special teams, that they're going to have to get him ready to play some wide receiver too. So we're almost kind of back to that committee thing without Amari and Cobb there. And I think they're just going to have to be pretty creative on how they try to use those guys and maybe throw the ball a little bit more to your running backs out of the backfield. And but again, the key thing will be you can't get the ball to those guys unless that offensive line is protecting the quarterback.
All right. And so on the defensive side, Tyrone Crawford done for the year.
Yeah.
How bad has that hurt this defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, he's a, you know, I think he's an underrated player on just what he gives this team. But again, the thing that I think they miss most is his versatility, that he can help out at defensive end and he can go inside and play defensive tackle, play either of the defensive tackle spots, and especially as a pass rusher on the nickel if they want to get another guy inside to rush the quarterback, and plus the experience. And so, you know, this was going to be the end result with that hip injury he had, regardless if it was now or at the end of the year. He was trying to power through it, and I think he was getting diminishing returns, and I think he was pretty depressed over the whole thing too, because, you know, he rehabbed and treatment all off season, all during training camp, and basically played those first two games and then missed the next two. And I think he realized and they realized he just wasn't the same player in these last two games. He only had 19 snaps this last game, and it's unfortunate, but I think the bottom line was either going to be surgery now or surgery at the end of the year. So they need Tristan Hill to step up. He needs to come on and help them out inside. You know, I know they signed this Justin Hamilton, but he's just a guy, undrafted. He's been in the league 4 years and only played in 8 games with like 4 different teams. So he's been mostly a practice squad guy. So to me, it's a body. I don't know that if he's ready to play or not come Sunday, because he got released at the end of training camp. So we'll see what goes on there. And then you're just going to have to rotate guys like Kerry Hyder and Joe Jackson inside also to help out with more of a pass rush, I think, than anything else. At least got Antoine Woods there, Malik Collins. But when you go to nickel, Crawford was, I thought, pretty important inside there, what they were trying to do with him, what little they got to use him.
Mickey, quickly, were you involved in the conference call with Doug Peterson? Did you hear any of that?
I did not.
So you know he backtracked on the whole guaranteed to win routine.
And he continued to do it again?
Yeah, he just basically said, nah, I'm just trying to hype my guys up. Who cares what the words were on a radio station?
Yeah. Come on, he wouldn't minimize you guys like that, would he?
Well, hell, I minimize this, so who cares, right?
But you know what? I think he was just trying to show confidence in his team. I don't think he was trying to go out there and brag or think they were that much better than the Cowboys. Heck, they got their own injury problems, right?
Yeah.
They got injury problems at corner. It sounds like Peters might not play in this game, too. So, he, as Bill Parcells would say, got to keep your own house from burning down.
Awesome stuff, Mickey. We'll talk to you on Friday, man.
Okay, see ya.
There he goes, Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by our friends at Ford. I wouldn't mind, Ben, listening to a little music to get us in the mood for what's happening down, just a few miles down 75 there, then you head down 30, and lo and behold, there's the State Fair of Texas, where last night, our own KT Fun Tweets went out to the fair and experienced it firsthand. When's the last time you'd gone, Tizzle?
I've never been.
What?
Yeah. Really? I've never been. I think I did a Saturday. I think I did a Saturday show there like 5 years ago, and then I left right when the show was over. I didn't take part in any of the fair, if you will, at the fair.
Yeah, I haven't gone in a long time either. My kids have never been to the fair, except my daughter went this week. She went with another family. I've never taken my kids to the fair.
Did she like it?
I got mixed. There's mixed reviews. There's parts of it she liked and parts of it she didn't like.
Right. Didn't like the 1,000 people all cramped on top of each other.
And that's what I was worried about. Like, luckily she went with some friends of ours who are really good parents, and I felt comfortable. I mean, it was one of those things I had to kind of get over myself and let her go, because that's what scares me. Like, being the massive crowds and you can't keep up with everything. And then, of course, carnies.
Yeah. It's chaos down there. You went at night, didn't you, KT?
I went at night.
See, in the times that we go, we haven't been this year and we didn't go last year, but we've taken our kids many times and we always go at night, during the week, and which is bad because the next day your kids are, dragging in the morning, but that's the time where there's not people everywhere. Yeah. You can actually park close and get in and out pretty quickly.
Yeah, the parking was a problem. When I think back to when my run of going to the fair ended, I think there was quite a few car break-ins, like either mine or my family's or my friends, that kind of deterred me, and I probably need to get over that.
I had to park way the heck down there and then ride the tram to get in.
Oh, good call.
Now, then, one thing that my first thing I would like to say is they need to set some rules. Way too many strollers. Your kid can't walk. Leave them at home. They're not going to remember it anyways.
No.
Strollers.
There's a lot
out.
Of... No, you're right.
No.
And it's chaos, especially when the strollers are low to the ground and there's just a throng of people. The kid in the stroller is just trapped looking at a wall of butts. Just
figure it out, because it's cramping up the roadways there.
Yeah, okay? I hear you.
So, got to get rid of it. There's a new rule that I'm putting in place. No strollers. All right? If the kid can't walk, then leave him at home.
Word.
Or find a babysitter or something. I saw a lady holding an infant that was no bigger than a, 32-ounce Big Gulp. Just kind of walking and holding it, and I was like...
It was in a cup?
She had a baby in a Big Gulp cup?
No,
it's she was
that.
Drinking
I
the
said
baby?
It was no bigger.
This is weird.
Okay, so, about that size.
Uh-huh. She was Carney, comparing the baby to a Big Gulp?
I mean, the baby looked like it was smaller than one of those corn dogs. I was like, okay, so you just gave birth and went to the fair? How's that a great idea? Horrible.
Then you're still hungry for all that good food.
I never had a Fletcher's corn dog, so I said, you probably got to do that, right?
Pretty great, right?
Went and got one.
Yeah.
And then the whole time, as I look over my right shoulder, all I see is Big Tech staring at me. Staring at me, just looking at me.
You sure? Sure it wasn't Boban?
So I nearly got kicked out because I started yelling like, what's he looking at? Blink, you coward! Blink! You're a coward if you don't blink, Big Tex!
Be sure to park in a well-lit area.
Yeah, I can't. There are no well-lit areas.
At some point.
So Taldy loves KT.
That's a problem, okay? Is Big Tex just not blinking. He just looks at you.
Hi, KT!
It's bad.
That'd be weird if Big Tex did that.
Sounds like that.
Hey, kids, be sure to say hi to Big Cataldi.
He's from 105.3, the Fan in Dallas.
So now there's this spot.
Be sure to go over there. Those rides, that's a lot of good stuff there.
Big Cataldi's peeking over the edge of the Cotton Bowl.
Have you guys seen that? They've got this room. I didn't know anything about it, but this room, it's a, I won't say the name of the company, but they have these recliners. And there's like 20 recliners in there. And
Lazy Boy.
They're trying to sell them, you know. But what it is, it's a full chair that you'll lay you back, and it'll like, it's got all these things that like make you massage your back, and it massages your feet and
if
your
you
legs.
Buy one, you just have to walk around with it the whole time?
No. So I think what it's made for is they're trying to sell it, but say like people go get, they go eat all this food, and they're just go sit in these chairs for 5 minutes. Then you go, they come and give you a little pitch and try to sell it to you.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, I'm leaning back, I'm getting the whole rubs going down my feet and my legs. It feels back, leaning me back, but I can't see anything. I'm facing the ceiling.
Now you're laying down on your back?
I'm laying down on my back.
I like to lay down on my front in those, but go ahead.
Now there's a lady, some lady next to me sits down in the chair, and the guy comes over and he goes, are you wearing any underwear?
What?
To you or to her?
And she's like, what?
Did you fight this guy?
Check your panties.
It's just a lady. I was sitting there. Oh. I didn't care. I was just like, what? I'm leaning back. There's nothing I can do. Yeah. I was locked in, you know? And he goes, are you wearing any underwear? And I immediately go, what?
That's an inappropriate question.
Yeah, a Me Too situation.
At any time, that's inappropriate.
Especially from a carny.
Yeah.
So she was wearing a skirt, and he goes, oh, I was just asking because, you know, a lot of ladies will come sit down, and they'll just air it out.
What? I was like Nance?
I was like.
On a recliner?
So I'm leaning back going, huh? This is real strange. This is a weird situation here. So I thought that was a little inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
But maybe he was just doing his job to protect the kids from seeing something they didn't need to see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Julian. Tolo Julian came up, said, hey, what's up? So that was cool.
Sounds awesome.
Give him a little love.
That was a good story.
Okay.
Trying to think, man. I didn't really experience the full thing.
Did you drink beer?
It's a great story.
Yeah, I drink a lot of beer.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of beer. They have all kinds of great beers. And speaking of
beer. Did you hit up some of those portalettes?
I didn't check those out. Those didn't seem like a great idea. I would also like to say tomorrow night I'll be at the Alamo Draft House in Denton from 7 to 9 p.m. with Dos Equis.
So, oh, cool.
7 to 9 Alamo Draft House in Denton.
Did the corn dog change your life?
It was okay, man. It wasn't worth the amount of coupons.
What a hater.
By the way, can we get rid of coupon-based pricing? Can I just give you cash?
Yeah.
Can I just do that?
No.
So they have the fare is very much a pay for what you get situation. Or no, it's more of a you get what you pay for situation, okay. I guess. That's what I was trying to say. There's two ways of saying that. Uh-huh. You get what you pay for. Because if you want to go dabble in some of the cheaper foods, drinks, whatever, well, it's going to be delivered to you, and it's in a way that's not as friendly. It's going to be given to you in a cup that's all smushed in. The beer might have a lot more foam on it. Mm-hmm. Like there's just a lot of issues about going the cheap route at the fair.
It's not optimal.
It's not
there's
optimal
nothing
at all.
About the fair that's optimal.
Yeah, no, it was a beating. Yeah. It was a real beating. But it's I had a good time.
It's a human cattle herd that costs money.
Oh, and they had this pig just sitting in a pen. Like, what is he? Is he doing a show? Because he looks like he's dying. And I'll be damned. It's a place for kids, right? The fair's for kids, right?
Yes.
His balls were so huge.
Pig balls?
And hanging out at the back, and the pigs just wanted to die.
The pig ball ride's the worst ride at the state fair.
Thank you, Kevin.
Coming up next, Zeke tells us a secret, a massive secret. But thanks, Jimmy. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, you're going to have another chance to win $1,000 coming up momentarily just by listening to 105.3 The Fan. The other thing we want you to know about is we're going to be at Pluckers in Grapevine tomorrow. Also, put this on your calendar. Saturday, October 26th from noon to 4 at Texas Live. It's Fanniversary. Very much looking forward to celebrating our 10th birthday here at 105.3 The Fan with you and thanking you guys for being the loyal listeners that you are. Jalen Smith's going to be there. Charles Haley's going to be there. Some Dallas Stars in the mix. Chris Woodward is going to be there as well. I believe the stars that are going to be there are Craig Ludwig and Ed Belfour, former stars.
Sweet!
But that's going to be awesome. Fanniversary and Saturday, October 26th, family-friendly, noon to 4 at Texas Live in Arlington. Speaking of family-friendly, I don't know how family-friendly this term is, but the other night on the Miller Lite Cowboys Hour with Brad Sham and Kevin KT Turner. Who all is on that show?
Taylor Stern.
You guys usually engineers.
Yeah,
Ted. You guys had Ezekiel Elliott as the guest. Now, a lot of times you'll have two Cowboys players, but Zeke's a big enough star. You don't really need anybody else besides Zeke. And You guys, we can't play this audio. We're going to be careful with this audio. But he was asked about Whataburger or if he likes Whataburger or what he orders when he goes to a fast food. What happened?
Yeah, we'd kind of reached the fun portion of the show. Usually the last couple segments, it's less about, you know, the football game and the law coming off a loss too, you know, trying to get him off topic a little bit. And the question was, what's your favorite, you know, drive-through order type thing? And he first said he's not huge on Whataburger. And then he asked, am I allowed to say that? Are we partners with Whataburger? And then he said, I'm more of a McDonald's guy. And the question arose, what do you get? What's your favorite drive-thru order at McDonald's? And he said it was something that would be basically a double cheeseburger with a chicken sandwich in the middle of it.
What?
Am I allowed to say it?
It was a gang of food.
Yeah. So it's called the McGang.
And you just eat it?
You just eat it. Now, a lot of people go, huh? But he said that it was on the secret menu.
Do we have audio of it, Shippy? If we've...
Yeah, of Zeke?
Yeah. Has it been edited?
It has.
Okay.
All right. So you want the full thing or just what? That's what it's called?
Do the full thing. I think it might help.
Okay.
Not a big Whataburger guy. I'd rather...
Ears are bleeding here in Texas.
Go ahead. What?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. Whatever you want. If you want fast food, where do you
go? Is Whataburger a sponsor of the radio show? Am I allowed to say
that? No, people in Texas just really pride themselves on their love for Whataburger.
I'd go to McDonald's over Whataburger any day.
And what would you order?
McGang.
That is like a hybrid order.
Yes, I'm the mind reels.
It's on the secret menu.
Okay.
Tell us what it is so we can order it next time.
Whoa.
So it's a double cheeseburger. You divide it in half and you put a McChicken in the middle of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's serious.
With all the bread. So it's like two buns and a heart attack.
Yeah, you got to be young and a cowboy to enjoy that.
You got to be running.
It's more of an off-season meal.
Yeah, there you go.
So that exchange could have used more KT, in my opinion. Where were you just sitting out?
Or? I was scaling back. Yeah, I was scaling back. I wanted to see where Taylor and Brad took it and Zeke. You know, Zeke's interesting because, okay, so he's this, like, the charisma is there no matter what. And it's not because he's a good player. Mm-hmm. You see the charisma, but it's generally low energy answers. So you're kind of going, all right, I'm trying to get a read. Is he into this? Is he not into this? Mm-hmm. It was hard to tell, you know? But once he loosened up, really, he was pretty fun. You know, he didn't really want to get into, there was questions about his tattoos. He didn't really want to get into that. He's like, I think you guys are looking too deep into my tattoo situation.
We've talked about this. We talked about it yesterday. We know about secret menus. I had no idea McDonald's had one. I found a list of their secret menu items and they call it the BCB. I guess it's Burger Chicken Burger.
Oh, that's the real name of it.
I think that's the hidden menu name. I don't know how he came up with his name for it.
But clearly when he goes and says it at a McDonald's, they know what it's all about, right?
If they make it, they got to know, right?
Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to get those all the time at Mizzou.
Is that how you ordered them?
Yeah.
So is that a Missouri thing? Because he's from...
He's
from Missouri. Good.
That's where I found out about it, was at Mizzou.
Now we're getting to the bottom of this. Okay.
And Zeke was supposed to go to Mizzou.
This is all coming to light.
His dad was pressuring him too hard, so he went to Ohio State.
It's good. I still love you, Zeke.
None of this stuff on the secret menu sounds good. Did y'all hear of the other items?
I think the regular menu leaves a lot to be desired as well.
The surf and turf is the same thing. It's a Big Mac, but you squeeze in a filet of fish. There's the McChicken Parm. You order mozzarella sticks, and you put it on a chicken sandwich with marinara sauce.
They have mozzarella sticks.
There's the 1.5-pound burger, which you just have 6 quarter pounders with cheese.
And then eat it while sitting on a toilet.
There is the hash brown McMuffin, which is a double sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin with a hash brown in between it.
Okay, yeah.
You can get a triple cheeseburger, which is weird because their cheeseburgers have these really paper-thin patties. They're almost the same width as the cheese. And so you just put 3 of them together.
God, strange.
What? Oh, whatever. I'd never even really heard of the whole secret menu phenomenon In-N-Out Burger. The first time we went to In-N-Out Burger in California before it had made its way to Texas, we ordered stuff that was quote unquote on the secret menu because
animal style.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. So we knew about it. I'd never heard of any secret menu at McDonald's until this show on Monday night.
That term, the term he used to describe that order, which we've been told we can't say.
The second word rhymes with gang.
Yeah.
It's a gang thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The big gang thing?
I don't know how common that is. Like, does everyone know that word? I mean, is everyone, that term, rather?
That's what it means?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone knows what it means.
I think it's one of those things where,
every person
knows. Look, here's the deal. You can take any normal word that is quote unquote not offensive and go to Urban Dictionary and probably find some offensive thing attached to it.
I'll find a way, yeah.
That's the nature of slang.
Right.
But this word, this compound word has been used many times in a media capacity to describe where someone is being interviewed by multiple people at the same time and they're all sticking microphones in their face.
I mean,
we've said it on the air many, many times.
When we're all asking questions to Mr. Spagnola at 12:20 Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're technically having one of those McGangers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all in here asking questions.
Dude, it's very possible that a trombone could get wet, and if you leave it out, that thing's going to rust. That's not an offensive term.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So I got the Whataburger secret menu up here.
Oh, my God, yes.
That doesn't exist. You're making it up.
You can order at Whataburger a grilled cheese sandwich. Do you know that?
It's not on the menu.
And apparently, it's not on the menu.
You're confusing the secret menu and the kids' menu.
No. It's not on the menu.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why do they have Texas toast laying around?
Well, that's a great thing. That's so saying delicious. If you really covet that or maybe that Texas toast is sought after, then you order a grilled cheese. And it's a little bit cheaper, too, because they just charge you for the cheese. So that's good.
Okay.
They've got something called the Hulk. It's a drink. It says it's a beautiful radioactive colored drink that is so popular, it's got an active social media fan base.
Really?
So there's a lot of things that go into it between soda and Powerade, and it's kind of green, but it's a very good soda, apparently. There's something called the Triple Triple.
Is that three triples stacked on top of each other?
No. The article I'm reading from WideOpenEats.com says In-N-Out holds the trademark over the name Double Double, but that doesn't mean you can't get the equivalent and get the Triple Triple at Whataburger. So it's not on the menu, but you can get yourself a Triple Triple. They got chicken and pancakes also in the Whataburger secret menu. And yeah, that's it.
Did you feel like the crowd, when Zeke said he was a McDonald's guy over a Whataburger guy, the crowd supported him? Is that what you said yesterday?
I don't know if supporting more people applauded for it than I thought, because generally we've glorified Whataburger so much as a state to where we've made it be some like, oh, if anyone talks bad about Whataburger, then you can go to hell, you know, that type of thing.
That's because Nolan Ryan does the commercials.
I was expecting the crowd to get a little rowdy, but it turned out a lot of people were kind of clapping for McDonald's, and there were a few people who go, oh my God, really? And they took off their Zeke jersey and immediately went and got a Wally jersey.
I think when these conversations break out, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, man, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And then they stop and go, man, why am I so passionate about a fast food restaurant? What got into me? I don't know what made me get real excited about this. I think it's because the person next to me told me I should be excited.
All right. Coming up next, Dr. Chow joins us. He's the NFL's official, unofficial doctor. We're going to talk about Amari Cooper, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Tyrone Crawford. We'll get his thoughts on all those injuries for the Cowboys next on 105.3 The Fan.